Well, good morning and welcome. We're so glad that you're here today. I am thrilled for what's happening today and what has already gone on in the first service, and that you're here for this. As Brock said earlier, we are today we have kind of our mission focus. And if you've been here at Westside for any length of time, hopefully you've heard us say over and over that as we follow Jesus, there's three things that we want to be all about, and that's loving God, loving each other, and serving the world. And so essentially today we want to talk about that serving the world aspect. And this is Sue Carr. She's the executive director at 541 Eatery and Exchange. And today what we're hoping we can do with all of you is to launch a partnership with them. And as they do this incredible ministry that you've heard just a little bit about, and we'll hear more about in a second, to get you and us together excited about how we might not just have kind of a one-day focus on this, but a partnership going forward that we might get involved in what they're doing and what God is doing in this incredible ministry. And so, Sue, again, thank you so much for coming.
You.
We're excited for what you have for us.
Thank you. So when I saw that video for the first time again earlier this morning, I'd forgotten quite how much content there was, and there was half my chat just sort of gone, just like that. So I won't repeat it. But what I noticed a lot is that there was a lot of future tense in what we said in that video. That was really just before we opened properly, which is why the place is empty and tidy looking. And it's never really empty like that now. There's always people, and sometimes a lineup out the door, well, to the door. I don't think we've ever had a lineup outside the door. So it's a pretty busy happening place. And you heard actually there the two men who dreamt this into being, whose sort of seed thinking was what got it going. And that was James Peters at the end was one of the speakers, and Michael Boyer, who was the first guy to speak, who's the pastor at Ellis Avenue Bible Church. And those two men together wondered what a for-benefit, not-for-profit business would look like on Barton Street. And they very quickly centered out the idea of providing food, as they said. And I don't know if you're familiar with the term food desert, but between sort of Sanford, where there's one Tim Hortons, and going east Lottridge, where there's a Tim Hortons and a McDonald's, there isn't really much in between where you would like to take your family, or you as a single person perhaps would just like to go and sit if your place where you lived wasn't the greatest, or where you might want to go and have a coffee. And so they sourced out this old bank building. It was built in 1907. It was the Bank of Montreal. It served the Westinghouse company and the seal companies that grew up after that. And then after a while, when the bank closed, it fell into disrepute. It was a crack house. It was several other things, quite well known in the neighborhood. And then we've been in the process of redeeming it for a totally different purpose over the last year or so. I thought I would share a couple of scriptures for you, because I think they're relevant, and it's kind of what you expect, isn't it? So here we go. It's Mark chapter 2. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake, and a large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Hey, follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, there were many tax collectors and sinners eating with him and his disciples, because there were many, who'd followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous, but the sinners." And to me, it matters who you eat with. To me, it says a lot about who we are, about who we choose to hang out with and break bread with. And there's a couple of other things. Remember the accounts of the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000 in the Gospels? And I think it's a fairly safe bet that among those people, there were folks who never would have eaten together. There were people from different places, different communities. There were probably people from different social strata. There were certainly men and women, people who not usually would sit down and eat together. And Jesus sat them all down in one place and fed them. And the other one I want you to hold in your head and in your heart as you listen and as you think afterwards is Deuteronomy 15, where the writer talks about being open-handed, not tight-fisted, but open-handed towards the poor in your community. He says at the beginning of that pericope, he says, there need be no poor, there will be no poor in your land. And at the end, by the time I suspect he's thought out what people are actually like, he says there will always be poor in your land. But if we were open-handed, not tight-fisted, it would change everything. And 541 is a very small part of making, allowing us to see what that would look like, what it would look like to be open-handed and not tight-fisted. And so the idea, the business model, was that we would run our business largely based on volunteers. So there are very few staff. There are 8 staff, and there are 5 of us who are full-time, and the rest are part-time. And everybody else is a volunteer. So every day there are between 15 and 20, on a good day, volunteers who come in usually once a week for a 4-hour shift. So that works out to a goodly number of volunteers each week. And we absolutely rely on our volunteers. We couldn't open without them. There's always 2 front staff, a cook, a front of house person, and usually me around in the background. And everybody else is there because they chose to be. Well, we chose to be too, but, you know, it feels different when you get up in the morning and go to work, doesn't it? And what it looks like when you come in is a regular cafe. You saw it. You can see it. Oh, that's Geordie now chopping up vegetables. It's a good place to be. It's friendly. We serve excellent coffee. We serve Detour coffee. If you're familiar with the cafe in Dundas, we buy from their roastery in Burlington. It's fair trade coffee. It's really good. We have a very expensive espresso machine on the back. That was a source of soul searching because it was like, really, we need to spend that much money to make espresso? Apparently you do. But what we wanted was a place where we would sell coffee that would get the sort of hipster crowd in, to be honest. And we would be able to serve coffee that folks who would perhaps normally drink at Tim Hortons would also recognize as something that they'd enjoy. So we have drip coffee, we have espresso coffee, we have all the fancy things that you'd like. And we serve breakfast and lunch and supper at a price that the neighborhood can afford. That was really important for us. And we can do that because we haven't got a huge payroll and we keep our overheads as low as we possibly can. And so we help this along, as you heard, by the button system, and that's important to us because it allows the neighborhood and people who come in to bless one another. And I left the numbers down there, no mind. We've averaged last month in January, we had $11,500 donated as buttons. That's one button at a time, a dollar at a time. It's a lot, eh? And that is people paying it forward to the other people behind them in line. And well, maybe I'll tell you about our volunteers. We obviously started off with friends of friends. That's how anything like this starts. So our staff had friends who they'd worked at Pioneer Camp. And then in the summer, when it got to be Pioneer Camp time, they all disappeared and went into the black hole that is Pioneer Camp and Joy Camp. And they swallowed my volunteers whole. And they came back again in September when they came back to university, which is good. But what's happened now is that because of social media and because of the generous coverage from CHCH and the Hamilton Spec, I interview every single volunteer. We've had 275, I think, to date I've interviewed. And I say, how did you hear about 541? And it used to be people would say, oh, I heard about you from somebody at church or someone in my youth group. And now it's, I saw you on Facebook. And my very favorite volunteer, who is in her 80s, she said, I heard about you on Facebook. I thought you are the kind of volunteer I want at 541. And then I said to her, and she said, but I don't go to church. Is that a problem? And I said, no, it really isn't. And she said, and I don't know what I could do. And I looked at her and I said, do you like to bake? And her face lit up, and she said that when she and her husband moved into the retirement home, the two things that she missed were cleaning windows and baking. And I said, Ruth, I do not want you climbing on a ladder cleaning our windows, but if you'd like to bake, I have a place for you. And she comes in, she started off coming in once a week to bake, and now she comes in twice a week because she likes being at 541 so much that she just wants to be part of it. So she comes on a Saturday afternoon and a Thursday morning. And Ruth hangs out with our volunteers who may be 14. And there was one time when there was 3 14-year-olds supposed to be doing something dramatic with a dishwasher and Ruth. And I was in my office listening, as I do. If you volunteer, you need to know that I kind of do listen just a little bit because it's more interesting than what I'm doing at the computer. And they were all bopping around to the Beatles, because if you do the dishwashing, you choose the music at the back, and they'd put on the Beatles. Excellent choice. And they were talking about the movie that all of them had seen the night before, and I thought, I do not get out enough, because Ruth is in her 80s, and the three 14-year-olds are clearly more hip and in, you know, mainstream culture than I am, because I didn't know what they were talking about, and yeah, still don't, but that's all right. So this exchange thing happens on all kinds of levels. It happens when one volunteer says to another, when they're chopping up carrots or whatever, how did you hear about 541? And somebody will say, well, I heard about it at church, or I heard it from my friends that go to church, and the other, and then the question goes the other way, and they say, I saw it on the television. No church connection at all, and yet working as co-laborers in the kingdom, right? Not knowing yet perhaps why they do it, but drawn in by the irresistible delight of seeing the kingdom worked out in practice. And to me, that's the most powerful message we can have. I can sit up here, that your two wonderful pastors can sit up here and proclaim God's love, and that's good, and we should do it, and we are called to in our lives and up here. But there is nothing so incredibly attractive as seeing it in action. And so being part of something where we can offer this opportunity to people who otherwise wouldn't get a chance, to me, is very powerful. And I think it's a big part of what 541 does. And I don't think it was part of the original vision. The original vision of having volunteers was to make it work. But I actually think that it's that God has taken this idea and is transforming it into something remarkably wonderful. The mission field isn't just out there front of house where we're serving people. The mission field is where volunteers of all ages, like Jen said, ages and social backgrounds and faith backgrounds are coming together and working for the good of the kingdom. So let me read you a couple of things. I had this volunteer who turned up. She didn't turn up. She emailed me and she said, every January I do something that's a sort of a good thing. She's not a believer yet. She's older than I am, so she's really, really, really old. I would never say that to her face. She's not that old. Okay. She's done things like go with Habitat to Humanity to build houses. She's volunteered in soup kitchens. She's done all sorts of things. And she wondered what she would do this January. And a friend asked her, and her friend said, what would you really like to do? And she said, I want to work in a diner. And then she was doing something else, half listening to the television, heard our piece on CHCH and thought, huh. So she emailed me, and then she said, well, okay, for 3 weeks, I'll come in every day, and she varied her shifts. And one of the things she does, she's actually a motivational speaker, and I didn't know that, and she writes a blog, and she wrote down some of her observations. And remember, this is somebody who's not yet really, I think, in the kingdom. She wrote, I wanted to see what she started it with. Oh, okay, I've muddled my pages. I'll just read you a couple. She writes, a woman appears just inside the front door and proceeds to set up a box of hand-knit gloves and mitts for anyone needing them. That's actually somebody from CUPE, the local union, who called up and said, could they do this as a sort of outreach for us through the winter? And I said, yeah. So there's a box and people can help themselves. A young woman walks in shivering from the frigid temperatures, and a young staff member retreats to the back and returns with a slightly worn winter parka. This might be warmer for you. I have no idea who they did that. We don't have a clothing bank, but I suspect that it was a cloak. It's probably clothes that somebody either left behind and it got as a lost and found, but it's more likely that it was theirs and they gave it away. Honestly, my staff's like that. A regular approaches the counter and asks if we have a shovel. I'll gladly shovel for you. I know exactly who that was. That's Michael. He comes in with his niece, Margaret, every morning. They have breakfast and they play board games together, and they both come in with their walkers, but he can manage, a bit stooped over, to shovel the drive, the pathway outside, and he does that. Two little girls come in for their after-school snack. Looking at the four buttons left in the jar, one says to the other, it's okay, we can share. The regular little girls who arrive after school, they finish their snack and they start cleaning the tables up around them because it's their space, right? They own it. A customer occupies a seat at a table and draws in his book. A little girl from a nearby table sitting with her mom joins him, and together they draw for over an hour. And that guy is now running a once-a-month sort of creativity cartooning session at our big table that you saw in the pictures. And anybody can join up, and we foot the cost of the sketchbook and the pencils. And he teaches them how to draw, and he talks about writing and self-expression. It's just beautiful. It's just once a month. It's small, but it's neat. A neighbor from the street comes over unannounced to place a laminated sign on the window on the side door because he's decided that that should be our accessibility entrance only because it's our wheelchair entrance. But if everybody comes in the side entrance, it gets freezing at the back. So he made this laminated sign and stuck it up, and its accessibility was spelt wrong. And I looked at it and I thought, I think it's still spelt wrong. It's fine. I just ignore it. A group of seniors meeting for lunch call me over to ask how they might get involved. That happens a lot. And there's a few more neat ones like that. A young woman comes in for breakfast with a friend. It's her 29th birthday, and after placing her order, she reaches to buy 29 buttons and then one for good luck. Happy birthday. And then I love this one. There was a grade 3 class from a local school that came in for a reserve lunch. Honestly, when this teacher called up and said she'd like to bring in, I said, how many kids? She said, 21. I said, how old are they? She said, 8. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be a nightmare. But they were good as gold, and they turned up, and they paid for their lunch, and they bought a donation that they'd made from their fundraising efforts. And the teacher said, I want to teach them about community involvement and responsibility. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. 21 little kids all having grilled cheese and chocolate milk and a cookie. And one of them had a lactose intolerance, but we've sorted that out. Anyway, so there are stories like that galore. I don't have to make them up. They're just there. I should tell you a little bit more about the people who come and help out. Are you familiar with L'Arche, the series of communities across the world that Jean Vanier founded? Well, there's a L'Arche community in Hamilton, and we have people from L'Arche come in with their helpers. And Justin is one of them, and he comes in with and he wears a chef hat because to him this is very serious business, and he is a great cutter and slicer of carrots. And the carrots that you would eat on a Wednesday evening would be chopped by Justin, and they are the most loved carrots in Hamilton. It takes him all morning, and it's a beautiful thing. And we have other folks from Hamilton Community Living and who are on OZSP, who come and they volunteer with us, and then they get enough confidence to go and apply for a job, and then they go off and they disappear, and I've lost my volunteers. But it's a wonderful thing because they've gone off and they're doing something now, and they learned that they were valuable because they could try it out at 5:41. A lot of community development efforts, I think, start by people knowing what's good for the community and coming in and saying, oh, we're going to do this for you, and aren't we a great blessing? And I think we were a bit like that to start with. We thought that we would run a homework club because, hey, what would students like better than after school to come and do homework? Because that's what I want to do after school. Not really. So that wasn't a great winner. But when we changed how we thought about it, and we decided that on one night a week, I couldn't find any volunteers, so my three wonderful Masters of Divinity interns are spending some of their time each week hanging out with now a little growing group of kids from the neighborhood, from a particularly notorious tower block in the neighborhood, actually. And they have fun and games. They sometimes go and make snow angels in the park, and they build snowmen, and they come back, and they eat supper together around the table with caring adults who are interested in them for no other reason than they are who they are. And there's a little story that goes with that. Are you familiar with Move-In, the community? Yep, so some of you are. So there's a Move-In little group in 150 Sanford, and one of the people associated with them was coming down in the elevator with a thing that she'd made for church, and it said something about church, and she'd left the writing on the outside, and she suddenly thought this was a bad idea because people were going to read it, and then she'd be asked questions, and my goodness, you have to be careful, you have to give an account of your faith. And these two little girls got on and started reading it and said, what's church? And she said, well, it's a place where you're welcomed and people eat food together sometimes, and sometimes they sing and play games. And one of them said, oh, like 5:41. And she's one of our after-school kids on Wednesday nights from the homework club. And that to her meant 5:41. And I think that's the best description we could ever have had. And you need to know that at the heart of 5:41 is a worshiping community. You actually saw it very briefly, the name of it, in that little video clip. It's called The Meeting Place, for the deep spiritual reason that somebody made that plaque and thought we would like it. And so I said to the people, hey, what about we call ourselves The Meeting Place, because we got this sign. And that was a while ago. So we put it up in the cafe so that we would know that it was our place. The Meeting Place meets on a Sunday afternoon, because we don't like getting up early in the morning. I did it for you. I got up early for you, but I wouldn't normally. And we meet at 4 o'clock for worship. We open the doors at 3. We put the same coffee on that we sell in the week, but we give it for free. And then we worship at 4, and then we eat a community meal at 5, and that's free as well. So we max out at 60, and then we put a sign on the door and say, I'm sorry, we're full. Come back again next week, or come back when some people have had supper and left, and we do that. We will feed anybody that comes until it runs out. I think that's key, that at the heart of 541, there's this little kind of secret nugget of the kingdom that grows. And the other thing that's important is that we have a basement. And in that basement, people from the Greater Ontario House of Prayer, which is the Hamilton expression of the 24/7 prayer movement. Anybody familiar with that? And they meet in our basement, and they pray in our basement all day, every day when we're open. And so praise and worship and prayer is the foundation of what we do at 541. And if you're going to start anything like 541 ever, that I would recommend that you make sure that you have that, because it changes everything. It's why I believe when people come in, they say, this place feels so lovely to walk into. It feels so welcoming. That's why. It's nothing really to do with what goes on the main floor. It's everything to do with what goes on in the foundation of the building. And so when we have bigger groups that come out to volunteer, we'll say sometimes, well, half of you help clear up and half of you go down and do some prayer and some worship and find out about God's heart for Hamilton with the Go Hop team and then switch over. It's a really good partnership that's going on right there. I'll tell you a little bit about some of the other things that we do. We have piano lessons. Well, we had piano lessons. If anybody's a piano teacher here and is thinking about giving free piano lessons, because that's, of course, what you would think if you were making your living from teaching piano. But one person did, and for a while we had free piano lessons. And if you have your own keyboard, that would be good, because I don't have one. But free piano lessons in an area where that wouldn't be experienced normally. A new mum's group that's just starting up, because there's a mum who is a volunteer with us for a while, and she had her baby, and she came back and she said, you know, my friends and I like hanging out, and we wondered if we could come and do that at your place, and maybe we could make some craft kits up, and maybe 541 could help us subsidize them a little bit so that everybody could be part of this. It's going to be just perfect. Just perfect. It's exactly what we need. We've run Alpha. We currently don't have an alpha group. If anybody's interested in running an alpha group out of 541, we could certainly use that. I'd like to see that carry on. There's a men's study group from Houston Street Baptist that's going to be coming in. So that's a sister church of yours. Going to be coming in on Sunday nights after we finish church. It means our group doesn't have to wash the floor. Bonus. So good. They're going to wash the floor for us. And again, the building will be used for exactly what I think it should be, which is offering hospitality and welcome into the kingdom. Whether that's done by making an excellent cup of coffee or a really good supper, or whether it's done by welcoming it into a church worship service or into a men's group, either way, the kingdom is served and is grown and is worked out in practice between people who have and people who don't have quite so much. And whatever that looks like. So on any given day, I can see that there are sex trade workers there. There are policemen. There are pastors. There are single moms from the neighborhood. There are teachers. There are people who are going back to school who learn, because we have also a partnership with the Adult Basic Education Association. And they come in once a month and set up. And they very gently just encourage people who are there and say, hey, have you thought of upgrading your education? And so they'll do the assessment interviews right there, so you don't have to go to a school or somewhere that's a bit threatening. You can just do that right at the cafe. And it's just another way of saying, hey, there's all sorts of possibilities out there, and have you thought about this particular one? That's what we're about. And we really do want to say a big thank you to you as a church for taking us on as a partner. For blessing us already. Many of you have come down and volunteered. I think you've enjoyed it. I hope so. If you'd like to know more, you can get on our website. You can email me directly through our website. We're on Facebook. Do friend us on Facebook. We've got a movie night this Friday. We're going to show Frozen. It's going to be epic. If you're small, it'll be more epic if you're small than if you're not. But we're working out two movie nights a month, one kind of more grown-up, I hesitate to call them adult movies, not really cool, but grown-up movies, and one more geared for the kids. Free, so anybody can come, because think about it, if you're a family and you're on benefits, it's really out of your reach to go to the movies. So we'll provide free... Well, actually, I think you're providing the free popcorn this Friday. Excellent. But free popcorn and free admission and the movie and this coffee. And so what we say to people is come for supper, stay for a movie. It's a Valentine's date, right? Frozen Valentine. Well, kind of, almost. Anyway. But don't come on Monday, because Monday is family day and we close on every public holiday because we want to give our staff and volunteers a rest. We think that's pretty important. So that's probably all I need to say, except just to welcome you into our space when you come, and come and see what it's about and maybe check out volunteering with us. Thank you so much for blessing us.
And it is a beautiful ministry and such a beautiful picture of the kingdom. People of just all different types coming together and doing life together. And building the kingdom, and it's incredible. So we're so thankful for Sue, for you coming this morning to be with us, and for the opportunity that you've given to us to partner with you. So for all of you, we've talked about this a little bit, but just to make it clear, we want this to be an opportunity for you to get involved if you'd like to, and we will have a number of things, I'm sure, going forward as a group that we can do. If you're in a life group, your life group is going to get a chance to go down and volunteer at 541, experience it. Be part of the Go Hop prayer that happens there, which, by the way, I was there a couple weeks ago, and it was amazing. It'll be such a blessing to you to get some of their perspective on what God's doing in the neighborhood and how they pray for the people that they're seeing each day and each week. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to see this ministry in operation, all the wonderful things they do for all kinds of people. So your life groups will be going down. If you want to go just on your own and volunteer, again, you can contact Sue. If you have our newsletter from last week, her email is in there. If you don't, there's newsletters in the foyer. You can grab one and let her know if you're interested in volunteering and going down on a regular basis. And finally, I'm sure Sue would love it if you would just go down and hang out sometime. Grab a cup of coffee or lunch or dinner. Buy some buttons for people that might not have the money to have their own meal there. Be a blessing to other people and just really enjoy, get to know somebody down there. Enjoy the space, enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy just an amazing picture of God's kingdom in this city. And Sue, we would just like to present you with just a small gift from us, some money that we raised over Christmas time. We heard you needed some equipment, and so we hope that helps.
Thank you very much. It does.
And thank you to everybody who gave to that project, and it's just a small blessing. We hope one step in what will be a long-term relationship, and we will continue to look for other ways to partner with 541 and with Sue.
Thank you.
Sue, I'd like to pray for you, and we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, thank you for the fact that you come to us. Thank you, God, that in the midst of situations and places that are messy and difficult, in neighborhoods that need to be rebuilt, we see you, God, working. We see your spirit alive and making a difference for people of all different kinds. God, we believe that that's happening not only here in the West End, also where 541 is in a very difficult neighborhood in our city, and God, everywhere else as well. And so we thank you for that. We praise you that you are that kind of loving and gracious God. God, we thank you so much for Sue and the message that she has brought to us this morning that we believe is from you and about this ministry and what they're doing. God, we pray a blessing on each volunteer that is there, for the staff, for Sue as she brings leadership to this ministry. God, would you continue to give her encouragement and strength, and we pray that even being here this morning might give her a little boost as we are so excited for what's happening there and how we might get involved. God, we pray a blessing upon them as they meet later today for worship, as they open their doors again tomorrow and serve their community, serve that neighborhood well. God, we thank you for this beautiful expression of your kingdom working in this city. Lord God, would you put it on our hearts as a people here at Westside, not only to listen to something like this morning, but to be encouraged to go out and to live out this love in action. God, whether that's at 541 or whatever context you call us to, we pray that we would see your kingdom exploding through regular, ordinary people that your spirit, your likeness just flows out of. Again, God, we thank you so much for Sue, for all those who work alongside of her. We pray a blessing upon 541 and all of the people that are ministered to and who minister, who need each other. God, may your kingdom continue to erupt all across this city. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.